Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is the Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
All right, we are live. All right, I got my friend, my good friend, Leslie Salazar Carrillo. That is the name. And you guys have heard the show with her before. I've had you on a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's always good. It's always a good conversation.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to K-Wave, and I heard this person talking on the radio, and I was like, man, this girl is talking about some seriously deep stuff. This is amazing what she's talking about right now. And I'm like, I got to get this girl on the show. So I call down to the headquarters, and I'm like, who was on? I forget what show. It was some day show or something, right?
Well, yeah, I was getting interviewed.
Yeah, you were getting interviewed. It was, I forget who it was, Saturday or when, but you were getting interviewed. And I'm like, who was that lady that was on? And they're like, that was Leslie Carrillo Salazar. And then it turns out I ended up contacting you, and it happens to, I knew you for years. And I was like, wait, that was you? And I'm like, get on the show. And that show was amazing.
Yeah.
And tonight's going to be amazing again, because it's, how long has it been since you've been here?
Oh, gosh, it's been a couple of years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
You know what? That reminds me, because
we lost 2020. Let's just say we just lost 2020.
It's true. It's true. Because there was a lot of guests that we would be having back on, or just bringing new people in. And it just got really weird, obviously, in 2020. So it just reminds me, there's a lot of people that I've had on over the last 5 years that there's certain people I want to bring back on to catch up with, because just the stuff that you're involved with. But before we get into your conversation, I have one of my good friends, Allie Brooke, in studio, or not in studio. She's actually on the phone. I'm going to bring her in a minute. You guys know her from Dancing with the Stars. She was just on that last series. She actually, it's funny because I got invited by them to go up there and pray for them during that time, right before COVID hit, and she advanced all the way to the very end. So people were like, I was posting photos of me like at the set, and they're like, what are you doing at Dancing with the Stars? Like, I don't know what's going on.
That's your new venture. You're going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, you know, I was training, but it was so awesome because they advanced and just meet a lot of cool people up there. And then she was also one of the singers in the band Fifth Harmony, that big pop band. That was when I met them. I mean, man, they were just exploding. Got to go on. I was fortunate to be able to go on a tour with them for a while, and then just become friends with her and Will. And they're just, I've actually had her on their radio show as well, telling her story during that time when they were playing at the Irvine Amphitheater before they tore it down here at this venue. But just a lot of cool things with her. It's been really cool to just see this young girl. She got discovered on TV. It was with Simon
Caldwell.
Is it Caldwell or the other guy? They had some show where everyone was performing, and then they put this band together, so they were discovered on TV.
Oh yeah,
which was a whole story in itself. But then from there, they turned into the band Fifth Harmony, and then just exploded. And then they left, and they all broke up, and they all got their separate record deals. And she got signed, and she started her new solo project, Allie Brooke, and just doing big songs. She dropped a song right in the middle of the pandemic. It's in my book. I talk about it, just saying when everything got shut down, the lockdown. I was like, my friend Islander, they dropped a song called End of the World. It was a cover from R.E.M., and then Allie Brooke dropped a dance song, and just all these things happening. But then she also dropped a book as well. On her story, this faith story, and now she has this new project going on that I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to actually bring her in to talk a little bit about it, but it's the worshipsundays.com, and it's a new service that she's doing on Sundays. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her in so she could tell us a little bit more about it. So here we go. I think Allie is on the phone now.
Hi, Ryan.
What is happening? I was just bragging about you.
Oh, Ryan, I heard every word. You are so sweet. And thank you so much for including me in your book. You are actually in mine as well. You're in my acknowledgments. I wrote you a note. You are just such a light in my life. And I just thank you so much for blessing me. I love you, Ryan.
I got nothing for love. You know, me and my wife and my kids, we love you guys so much.
Yes.
And it's just really cool to just watch you develop and just see how God's used you, navigate through the, you know, you're the, You're the Christian that's actually in the mainstream on all the mainstream labels and doing all mainstream stuff and has had such an influence of people around you, as I've seen personally being with you at Dance with the Stars, with, you know, your record label management and just other band members during this time, and never just always, you know, being that light of who Jesus has called you to be. So thank you for doing what you do, and you inspire me. As you know, we've talked about many times how you're continuing to just go and lead wherever God takes you. Now God has you on this new project for Sunday service. Tell us about it so the listeners can tune in and join you tomorrow for the service. What's it all about?
Yes, Ryan, thank you so much. I mean, oh my goodness, I could just talk so much about how you've blessed me. You've been there for me in my darkest moments, and you've been there to pray for me and give me so much encouragement and love and light. So thank you so much. You are such an amazing human being. And yes, I am so beyond excited to launch my Worship Sundays. And this is a moment to invite everybody, my fans and people who may not know me, people who may never heard of me, to just come and worship the Lord. I'm launching this, and my very first exclusive clip is going to YouTube tomorrow on my page. So you can go to youtube.com/AllieBrookOfficial. And at 10 a.m., I'm going to launch the very first clip of it. And that is me singing a song, and me and my band and my singers behind me singing a song called Fill Me Up. And I believe you actually know the singer who originally sung and wrote that, which is incredible. But yeah, so this is a sneak peek for my Worship Sunday series that I'm going to launch in a few weeks, where it's going to be, you know, multiple songs, me and a band and a choir, just worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, showing up for Him and just giving Him our hearts and our all. So I invite everybody who's listening to join us tomorrow, 10 a.m. You can go to worshipsundays.com to join and to watch a video.
We will be joining you, I guarantee it. And I'm looking at my Instagram for so you guys that follow me, Ryan Reese, on Instagram or the Whosoever. You can go to either one. We posted actually a clip of it, a snippet of you singing with your full band. And then my boy, Chris Kulala.
Oh my God, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You.
It's official. You know why? Because my boy, Chris Kulala, as you know, one of the singers from Jesus Culture, he just put the fire emoji on it. So it's official.
Wow, that's crazy. Oh my gosh. And you know what is so amazing? This is how full circle God is. So I actually grew up singing in the church.
Yeah.
And when I sang and helped to lead worship in high school, we would sing Jesus Culture songs. And I remember one of them specifically was Your Love Never Fails.
Yep.
And it's just amazing. And now he's commenting on, you know, my worship series. That is just amazing. That is so God. Thank you, Lord.
It's, you know, there's so much more to come. I'm going to connect you too. I already told it. We got everything in motion.
Yes.
You guys got to connect. And who knows what God wants to do.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Allie, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, worshipsundays.com. You're dropping a track of you and your whole choir, your band, and it's going to continue. So if they go to your YouTube channel, Allie Brook Official, they could
Allie Brook Official.
Mm-hmm. They could get a hold of your stuff and expect more to come.
Yes, absolutely. And tomorrow is a sneak peek, and I hope that, you know, us singing Fill Me Up can bless someone, can touch people's hearts. And actually, I start off the video with a speech from my heart, just saying how I need the Lord to fill me up, you know, in my greatest moments and also in the difficult times. And I hope that through this song that lives would be touched and spirits would be the Holy Spirit will impact them,
yep.
and that they will worship with us. And then when it officially all launches, I can't wait to come back and talk all about that and to have all the songs premiere in one. It's going to be beautiful. And the goal of this is for people to worship our wonderful Savior.
Amazing. Hey, before I let you go, you have a book out. We haven't had you on the show yet, but I'm going to bring you in for sure. But where's your book at? What's it called? Where can people find it to hear more of your story?
It is called Finding Your Harmony, Dream Big, Have Faith, and Achieve More Than You Can Imagine. And you can buy it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, HarperCollins.com, really wherever books are sold. And it is just, wow, it is a story of, it's really my testimony of my faith, of overcoming so many of life's obstacles and challenges, of miracles, and of dreaming big. So I hope that that can be an inspiration to many.
Well, I've been around for a few years of it for sure, and we've all seen it. We've prayed for stuff. I remember being up in Hollywood with you, Head, myself, Will, and I forget who else, and we all prayed about a song that needed to get done, a track, and God opened the door, and it happened. So there's so much in that book that's just truth and just amazing stuff. So check it out. I'm going to get you on the air to come in and get you for a live show so we can talk. And I'm going to join you tomorrow with me and my girls. We're going to be coming and worshiping with you guys tomorrow at 10 a.m. So we love you, and thank you, Allie.
I love you, Ryan. Thank you so much, and God bless every one of your listeners. And I can't wait for your book.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. I love you guys, right?
God bless you, Ryan. Thank you so much. I love you. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome. So cool, man. Just cool to see what God does with people.
Yeah.
You know, just when you're just available and God takes you on this crazy journey, as you know, because you have a very crazy journey. And what's so interesting is, you know, when I saw you this weekend at the skate park, Christina was there and you were there. And I'm like, hey, Christina. I'm like, this is Leslie. She's like, hey, cool. How you doing? You know, because you meet a lot of people. You're at a skate park and there's like church people there. And, oh, cool. You know, she was real cordial with you and cool. And they're like, hey, you better recognize this is Leslie. This is my friend. This is one of Sonny's good friends and Loli. And you better recognize an OG gangster, all right?
Yeah. I think you said the OG of the OG. And I'm like, okay, I'm only one OG.
The original. But it's cool because what you've been doing, and we're going to get into everything you've been doing, but you've been doing ministry for a long time, street ministry in San Diego. Yeah. You're good friends with Sonny Sandoval, lead singer from POD, co-founder of the Hoosiers, one of our good friends. You're in the family. You're just a real deal. And you've been doing ministry, and that's why I think since we've connected, we just have like-minded hearts. And, you know, to let the audience know where you're working right now.
Yeah, it's so crazy just how God brings all these things together. And when Allie was talking, like, what happened in 2020 and all the devastation, yet God was still moving. But, so I am the CEO of Pathway Health Clinic. We are a life-affirming pregnancy medical clinic located in Vista, where you just were.
Yep.
And so I've been doing that since 2016. I've been the CEO. I've been with the organization for 10 years. You know, so crazy is something just came up in my Facebook memories of an event I did 10 years ago. And I was reading what I wrote about it and just my heart for ministry. And I know it's the same as yours. Like, we do these things and we never know what we're doing. Like, we're just like, I just got to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I just know I'm going to show up. And then God always shows up. And my heart in ministry has always been just to show up and show people their value and show them that there's a world out there. It doesn't matter what has been told to them. There's a world that they don't even know the questions to ask. They don't even know what the question is.
Yeah.
And we come along and we're like, you know what? We're going to walk you through this. And I'm super, you know, ministry has changed for me over the past years.
Well, here, give me a little overview of like what you were doing to how you got here. it just in that process. I know there's so much.
Yeah.
But just now that you're, you know, the CEO of this abortion clinic, but you started.
I'm not a CEO of an abortion clinic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just say that?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You said that at the skate park, and that's why they all looked at me. And you know that really like uncomfortable laugh. Like, and I'm like, hey. For reals, I do not run an abortion clinic.
No, you know why I said that? Because before I left, I was talking to my wife in the kitchen, and I told her what I accidentally said, and it was that.
They all kind of looked at me out there, and I'm like, okay, for reals, I do not run an abortion clinic. I run a life-affirming pregnancy medical
dinner. I'm so, hey, I told you, I went to 2 birthdays back-to-back for my kids in the sun all day. My brain is like fried right now.
Okay, please don't write me letters. I don't run an abortion clinic. Yeah, so the kind of the journey, it's so funny in how I got here, which who even knew, but just coming honestly from a place of brokenness. I actually grew up here in Orange County and just intense brokenness. And when I came to the Lord, you know, every time I walked in a church, and honestly, still today, when I go walk into a church to speak, I truly feel like they're saying, oh, here comes the Samaritan woman, because it's not far from the truth. Mm-hmm. And so God took me. I always have had a heart for the broken and the hurting because I understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand being lost. When you've been so lost and so broken, you can see it on somebody's face. That doesn't mean that somebody who hasn't had that can't, you know, come alongside somebody.
Of course.
But you see it. You see it immediately because I've been with you enough mm-hmm. times to know that you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And just there's something.
You can walk into the room or wherever you're at, the skate park or any concert, whatever. You could just point people out and you're like,
yep.
Yep.
And that's all you have to say. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they know it. They see it on you. And it's just like, mm-hmm. it's just an explosion. So did a lot of ministry. My husband and I spent 3 years on a street corner in Escondido, and dang, we saw everything out there. We saw demon possession. We saw drugs. I mean, it was craziness. But in the midst of that craziness, man, we'd have some amazing ministry opportunities. Kids would come up, and they'd be like, "What are you doing here?" You know, they'd mad dog you. "What are you doing here?" And you know, we're just out here hanging out. And I knew the questions to ask, and it'd be like emotional vomit. Mm-hmm. Like if I was a person, an evil person, I could have totally manipulated them. I could have had them trafficked like that for what they would tell us.
Yeah.
I knew everything about them.
Yeah.
So we spent like 3 years out there, and then you know, God, like you, takes you down a different road. And I was speaking and. The organization I run now heard about me, and I came on and I started volunteering, and then I came on staff and I spent the next 3 years speaking in high schools and probation schools, continuation schools, and really just trying to tell kids, you know, there's a whole world out there. The world is telling you this, and it was all secular. The world is telling you this, but I'm going to tell you that all the consequences that come with that. And so it was such a great experience because I always tell people I have the emotional maturity of a 15-year-old, so I get those kids. I'm with them. And then I became the CEO. And so still, it's the same thing. Those women, so we are a pregnancy medical clinic. So we do pregnancy tests, ultrasounds. We have parenting classes. And many times the women that are walking in our door are either abortion-minded, undecided. They're just in a crisis.
In a crisis, yeah.
And so we come alongside and we're like, because when somebody's in a crisis, and I've talked about this before, you know, they're thinking in a circular thought process. And we want them to think on a linear thought process. Because when you're in a circular thought process, and same thing with those kids out in the skate park or the high schools, they're in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to think linearly because they need to make decisions on a linear thought process, not in a crisis, because you're never going to make a good decision in a crisis.
Yeah, never.
You and I have been in crises. You have 4 kids. You know what crisis is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So really wanting them to slow down. So, and that's it. And just so everybody knows, our role in this is not to tell somebody what to do. Our role is, it's missionary 101. You sit under their tree for a little bit. You step into their life. You listen to their story, exactly how they're telling it, without judgment, without condemnation, because you know the path out of this. You know the road. And so, yeah, so that's, you know, the long story of a much longer story of just kind of how I ended up here. I couldn't tell you how I ended up here. Mm-hmm. It's all God. And so how God could take so much just brokenness and just being available.
You know, what's interesting is like, because you were saying how God, he puts you in certain situations and then he takes you into that next season or that next chapter or that next area where he wants to grow you. These are all training grounds, each thing. And then as you've went through all this crisis, as I just listening to what you were saying, how you were in the streets and then you were here and there. And as you think about all this crisis and street level stuff, God has prepared you for this moment of a major crisis. Like when you have a pregnancy and you're like a kid, and or just an unwanted kid or whatever the scenario is, you're raped or what. I mean, people that are going into abortion clinics, it's in a major, major crisis. I mean, they're thinking about basically killing the baby. You know, this is like crazy stuff that's happening. And now God's put you in this place as the first touch point, which is the most high level crisis area you can be in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely ground level. It's definitely front line.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely front line, and there is definitely an attack against us. But yeah, we are the first fragrance of Christ that she may even ever have come in contact with.
Yeah,
and so, and we joke about 2020, but so in the 10 years I've been here, 2020. I'd have to say 90% of the women that we are seeing walking through our doors since COVID happened are either undecided about the pregnancy or very abortion-minded, meaning I'm here because I need a free pregnancy test and I need an ultrasound because I'm getting an abortion. I'm going to go someplace else and I'm going to get an abortion because they are in so much stress. And in 10 years, I've never seen that.
For 2020?
Yeah. In 2020.
So what is it? Like, what are the issues? What are they talking about?
Well, so you imagine.
This is interesting. I mean, I haven't heard anything since what's been happening. I mean, we know that depression, anxiety, and everything went up, but I haven't heard on the, you know, abortion side of things.
Oh, yeah. So 6 weeks after the first shutdown, our phone was ringing off the hook. We had to shut down for a couple weeks, regroup, figure out how we were going to still do our mission and, you know, make sure our staff's safe and everybody's safe.
Right.
About 6 weeks after the shutdown, we're getting calls. Our phone is ringing off the hook. I have to have an abortion. I can't do this. So you imagine, if everybody can imagine all the stress that everybody's felt this past year, you know, the uncertainty, people are losing jobs, you know, just the unknown about this virus and all that stress. Now you put an unplanned pregnancy in the middle of that. And an unplanned pregnancy is stressful enough. You add all this other stuff, isolation, economic issues, in a house with your abuser. I mean, all of this stuff, add that on, and now you've got a pregnancy. And so
that's crazy.
And they are just, I have never seen such stressed out people in the, like I said, the 10 years I've been doing this. And the crazy thing is that minors don't tend to abort unless somebody's making them, because minors have this wonderful view of, oh, this baby's going to love me and all my friends are going to be here and it's going to be great. We have seen 16 and 17 year olds walking in and they're like, I have to abort. But they have denied their pregnancy for so long. They just couldn't deal with that. So they're like 26 weeks pregnant. And just so everybody knows, in California, you can abort up until delivery.
Are you serious?
If you have the money to do it. Now, they'll say, California law will say that legally it's only up to 24 weeks unless it's, you know, the health of the mother. But the health of the mother is a very broad statement. I did this on my podcast.
What's your podcast?
It's Life Grounded. You can find it on YouTube.
Perfect.
how Roe was written, it specifically was written broad. So the health of the mother could be me, like, say I walked in and said, I mentally can't deal with this.
I was just gonna ask you, yeah.
I can't have this baby. I feel like I'm gonna hurt myself. That is a reason to abort.
Yep. Crazy.
So now minors don't have that kind of money, and Medi-Cal won't pay for it that far. But they're in Iran. There we have this young girl, and man, she's just in such a difficult situation, such a bad home life. And she had denied her pregnancy for so long. She was like 26 weeks. And that baby is moving on that screen. And she said, so I can still abort, right? And the nurse told her, I'm sorry, it's up to 24 weeks. And she just bawled, just broke down and just sobbed. So we are there to walk alongside her and,
dang,
to keep pouring into her life. And then I spoke with her a couple weeks later, and she said, she told her family, and usually the picture looks worse than actually it is. And, mm-hmm. and she bonded with her baby. Mm-hmm. She was like, no, I can't go live here because that's not a safe place for my baby and I. So now she's bonded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So 2020 is like that. But we need to look at the bigger picture in the society that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
Is we are living in a society that are telling women, and it's a trickle-down effect. You and I see it all the time. Is what social media and just what their influences are, we're living in a society that says to succeed in life, you have to kill your child. That's what we're telling women.
Mm-hmm.
We would never tell a man that. So young girls are thinking, well, it is not natural for women to want to kill their children.
Yeah.
It's just, there has to be external circumstances. But we have told women, well, to achieve, to get that job, to finish school, you have to kill your children.
Yeah, you can't have a child if you want to accomplish this stuff.
No,
yeah.
No. And so you get people who are like shouting their abortion, and because I wouldn't have gotten this if I hadn't aborted.
We've seen that with the Hollywood and all that stuff through the news. Yep.
But think about that. When you and I were back in the day, mm-hmm. We didn't surround ourselves with sober people because sober people were going to tell us we were doing something wrong. We already knew we were doing something wrong in our hearts.
Yeah.
We knew this was a road to destruction.
Yeah.
But we surrounded ourselves with people that said, oh, what you're doing is okay. That's exactly what they're doing. If I say this enough, in my heart, it'll be okay because I know that it wasn't. And I know I'm broken. And I know that I'm hurting. And I know that everything in my life has been affected by this. So, yeah, that's kind of what we've been seeing in 2020. And it's I'm so grateful that we're there. I'm so grateful that in the midst of losing all our fundraising, systematically was shut down, but we were still there because they needed us.
Mm-hmm.
They needed us to be there. Just like you guys were doing what you needed to do. It wasn't for you because you were needed out there. These kids are falling apart, and you and I have talked about that.
Have you seen, we're going to be going to break in a minute. Have you seen more pregnancies during this time? Or is it pretty average?
Yeah, in the beginning it was, but there I was just listening or I was talking to a doctor, and he was saying that there's going to be a birth deficit, meaning that a lot of people weren't getting pregnant. And I don't know about that. I think a lot of people are aborting.
Okay, so we're going to be going to break in a minute. I have Leslie Salazar.
Carrillo.
Two last names.
Sorry, Tom.
Okay, sorry. In studio, I want to plug the Whosoever's Movement. Go to the whosoever's.com. Book us for a tour. We're touring. We're going to Arkansas. We're going to Delaware. We're going to Texas. We're going to Nashville. We're going to Portland, Bend, Oregon. We're touring. So we're active. Go to killthenoisebook.com right here. If you're watching the video, I got my new book out. You can pre-order it right now. It's going down. It's a faith-building tool. It will grow your faith. It will encourage you and teach you how to walk with Christ in full power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be back right after the break in 2 minutes. Peace.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. to the Ryan Reese Show.
All right, we're back in studio. I got Leslie Salazar Carrillo. I got it on lock. It's going down. Pathway Health Center.
Clinic.
Oh, man, they just murdered this whole title.
It's
all right, that's it. I'm throwing this thing at it. Get it out of here. Hey, I want to give the number out since I have you in studio. I think it's very important that we should take some calls and open up the phone lines for people that have questions. Maybe they're dealing with this stuff. Yeah. They're in the crisis right now.
Yeah.
They're pregnant or they know someone. Who knows? Now's the time to call. 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. That is the call-in number. We are live in studio right now. So hit us up. I'm going to give it out one more. This is for the guy that's like me that says, man, if they just say it one more time.
I'll remember it.
Exactly. 888-564-6173. Hit us up. We want to hear from you tonight. So really cool guy. People are calling in. Tell me about you were down at our event, Vista Outreach at the skate park. So tell us about it.
Well, I want to hear how that went down. It was great to see you guys out there because Vista has a lot of issues. And you've got kind of the affluent area and then the really low income area. And the low income area has, which we serve a lot of that area, is, you know, single parent homes, all of it. You know, maybe mom and dad are English isn't their primary language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so just a lot of stuff going on, a lot of gang activity.
What about the area where we were?
Yeah, it's a crazy area where you guys are because you go two blocks and you're in a super affluent area.
Yep.
You go two blocks the other way and you're in a kind of economically depressed area.
Yep.
But it was great that where you guys were and all those kids, I've spoken to a lot of those kids. I've seen them. I've seen their families and they're just so hungry right now. I think you and I talked about it. These kids, this generation of kids, their world has been turned upside down and they're searching for identity.
Yeah.
Who am I? Whose am I? You know, and where do I belong? They've got all of these influences and the realistic thing. And I love how you guys do it because it's how I do things too, is sometimes you got to give them something, you know, they got needs.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving them water. You're giving them stuff. You're meeting them. This is where my world is, this skate park.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I find my identity. This is my escape from the hell that I'm living in.
Yeah.
So, and I was listening to this study by Barna, and they were saying that this generation of kids, like, don't tell me about hell. Tell me how I survive the hell I'm in.
Hmm.
How do I survive the hell I'm in it? And I remember when I got saved, I tell people this when I tell my story, is my life didn't get any better. I was still a poor single mom. I had a super sick kid. Life was rough. But I had hope.
Right.
I didn't want to hear about Jesus. I wanted to know how I was going to feed my kid the next day.
Mm-hmm.
How was I going to make it, you know? But I heard this guy say,
that's so interesting. Yeah. Instead of like trying to, hey, you know what? You're going to go to hell and this. And they're like, dude, my life is hell.
I'm in hell.
I don't even want to like live right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to live right now. I can't even think about tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like the women that we see. Mm-hmm. I can't even think about tomorrow. I'm living in hell right now. And I'm going to bring a baby into this. And it's the same thing with these kids. Like, I'm living in hell. Show me how to get out of hell, the reality I'm in. And so I love when you guys come in because what it does is you guys are coming in and meeting them. Again, it's Missionary 101. I'm going to sit under your tree. I'm not going to make you come to me. And then they were telling me what happened afterwards. So I want to hear about that.
Yeah,
like
the
crazy. So talk about that.
Yeah. So we went there. We, you know, it's funny because we pull up and I'm pull up in the Whosoever van. So it's like all warp checkers and pink and purple. And I'm thinking, like, I'm going to pull up because when we're doing an event, you want to pull up and just kind of – I normally just want to show up early and kind of go through the skate park, suss out the crowd, just kind of see the vibe of the – because every spot you go to, whether you're in the inner city, you know, or you're, like, in, like, you know, Idaho, when like, family-friendly versus, like, inner city stuff, it's totally different. And, you know, skate parks, it could be – you know, you could buy whatever you want there.
Yep.
So I pull up in the van, and I ended up finding parking right in the front on accident. So they already saw me coming. So then I roll in. I just start skating the park and cruising around, saying what's up to everyone. And then the event happened, and, you know, it just turned into a full-on frenzy.
Yeah.
Everyone just started doing the best trick, and everyone was just united. We were skating with them for an hour and a half, and then our boy Brendan got on, and he started speaking, and he told that whole story. Yeah. Like, man, I used to smell like weed like you guys. I lived in my car. I was homeless. You know, he just told the whole story, and he's like, but some church people told me, hey, man, you want some – or some guys go, hey, you want some donuts? And he's like, heck, yeah. And then they go, yeah, well, if you go to that church, there's more food up there. So he's like, I just started going to church every week to get stuff in my pockets full of food.
Yeah.
Well, he tells the story. He leaves. Anyway, fast forwarding, the event ends. And I'm just like, man, I just feel like God wants to do more with these kids. Because it was a very, that was a very tough crowd there. That was mm-hmm. very inner city. You know, yeah, that wasn't just a friendly crowd, but they were all cool with us,
mm-hmm.
but it was a hard crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, hey, guys. The youth pastor goes, hey, man. He's like, hey, we're doing a – he's like, invite him to the conference. So I walk up, and I'm like, hey, man, they're doing an event at the church right now, but he's like, we have a mini ramp there. We're going to do a best trick. So I go, they're going to do a mini ramp, and there's free pizza. They're like, dude, let's go. So what happens is I didn't know it, but it was a purity conference. Dude, it was a purity conference. Are you kidding me? These skaters are a bunch of savages, right? So I don't even know. So I had the van, and they're like, and one guy's like, hey, homie, give me a ride. I'm like, all right. So I just loaded them up in my van, like eight of them or something, took them to the thing. I show up, and then I find out it's a purity conference, but there's the mini ramp. So I'm like, hey, go skate the mini ramp. So they're all chilling, skating the mini ramp. We're playing basketball, you know, just chilling with them for a while. And then it lets out, and then all of a sudden all these girls come out and guys, and then next, I don't know, they started texting their friends or something because they were probably like, hey, there's all these girls at this church. So next thing you know, like eight more showed up, and then another four showed up. And anyway, basically the skate park ended up showing up at the church, and it was so rad because all these church kids, dude, they're like talking to them, hanging out with them, and they all like, they're playing ball with them and then eating pizza. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, dude, they ended up going into the service, and during worship, some of them had the vapor. They were smoking weed in the church with their hands up, like jumping up and down, kind of looking at each other like, what is this music? We're smoking weed.
It's the Jesus movement all over again.
Calvary Chapel Vista, dude. And anyway, but then I ended up hanging out, talking about broken kids. I'm going to flip over to this. So anyway, long story short, we told them, we said, hey guys, every Thursday night, they meet here and they have the mini ramp set up, and all the moms from the church, they make all kinds of like cool food. It's not pizza. It's like legit food. So basically we told them what was happening, and they said, oh, we're going to come back. So very long story short, they end up now they're all going back on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And now they're all plugged in. What's so funny is our friend that shared that story, these guys came up, they told me about Jesus, and they said there's free food at the church. That's exactly basically what happened with that whole skate park. And now they sent me pictures that of all these kids back there on Thursday night going to church, all these like gnarly street kids.
Yeah.
So, but what's cool is I want to go back to what we were talking about earlier, is that I ended up hanging out with, you were saying some of these kids, they're like, I'm living in hell. Like, mm-hmm. tell me how to live out of hell. So I ended up hanging out with this one kid. We were eating some Mexican food there at the church. Me and him talking, and I'm like, hey, man, so what's your deal? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm also, do you live here? And he's like, yeah, I live here. He's all, my dad's from Mexico. Like, you know, you're talking, and his dad, he's like, my dad's all, I was like, I don't really know my dad. He was all hooked up on drugs. He's going in and out of jail. Then they deported him. He's also, now I'm here with my mom, and his mom's probably illegal, right? And he's born here. So he's like, I'm here with my mom, and my mom, you know, her back's all messed up because we have a little baby brother, and, you know, she was trying to pick him up out of the crib, and her back went out. So I'm just sitting there, look at this young kid.
Yep.
And literally, I'm just getting so choked up, just like, this kid right here. And this kid is like, he's so nice and so cool. He's a kid, like, where it's like, if he need to be adopted, you're like, just adopt this kid.
Yeah.
Like, he's just the most sweetest young kid, and just a great, cool heart, but just doesn't have a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, he was just telling me about everything that's going on. I just was ministering. I'm like, hey, man, listen, God loves you, and, you know, get plugged in here. There's a lot of people that love you. You get food here on Thursday mm-hmm. nights. Bring your mom here, have them pray for her, and just get plugged in. And now he's one of the ones just going with all the kids at the church. But it's the reason why we do, you do and I do what we do is because we have to meet people on ground level.
Yeah.
And when you really just get Jesus 101 or Missionary 101, you were saying, it's just literally going and making yourself available and hanging out and talking. And you're a mom. I mean, you know, you're out in the streets just being available with your husband, but just having conversations. And they know if you're there to be a Christian to close a deal, like, hey, man, you're a sinner. You need Jesus. You're going to hell. And they're like, what? Shut up.
You don't know anything about me.
Yeah. Or if you're like, hey, what's up? What's up with you guys? What's going on? And you get to know them and they open up, then they'll just share with you or throw up on you everything that's going on. And then that allows you a very easy way to navigate through what's really going on.
Yeah.
And that's when you can start having those conversations and they know that you actually love them. And you know, with the pandemic and everything that's going on, the harvest is ripe.
Yep.
It's ripe everywhere you go. We've been touring the United States with the Whosoever's, and it does it Montana, Idaho, wherever you're at, LA, San Diego, rich kids, poor kids. Everyone is empty. Everyone's looking for identity. And right now, the harvest, I always say the fruit is so ripe, it's literally falling off the tree. You just got to go pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, so the poor kids, so if you have money, you can hide your brokenness. It's easy.
Right.
You hide it behind stuff. The poor kids, they can't even hide it. Like, they're real about it. Like, my life sucks, and I don't even know. And they're just super real about it. So sometimes the more affluent ones are the harder nut to crack. Like, these kids got nothing, you know? And so, and just – I remember, in fact, I saw Sonny in, I think it was July or August. It was in the middle of the pandemic, and the Rhythm Church in South Oceanside put on this Bless Local. And Sonny came out, and I was out there. In fact, I called them because I saw it on Sonny's – Instagram. And so I called the church. I'm like, I'll be there with diapers and formula and wipes. I mean, these are like, you got to give them what they need.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was such an amazing event. They had the food bank out there. They had free haircuts. They were doing a clothing distribution. They had the half pipe. They were doing skate contests and every Sonny was out there and just loving on them. But when you do that, you have an opportunity to have conversation. Because, you got to give them something sometimes. Mm-hmm. You got to, and like you said, you can't be going there with your three-point plan. Okay, I'm going to preach to you, and then you're going to accept Jesus, and I'm going to not, you know, and I'm going to tell you that you're going to hell and blah, blah, blah. Because when my husband and I were out on the street, we would see that. I remember this one girl that we knew, she texted me. She's like, this beep gave me this pamphlet. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know what my life is like. And I'm like, oh, dang. I am so sorry. That's, you know, we've got a world that is so hungry for communication. We got a world that's so hungry for interaction. And all we have to do is exactly what you did. You sat down and you listened. You didn't try to fix his life. Mm-hmm. You didn't try. I have a really good friend, and I always say that I'm a Christian, probably still a Christian today because of her. She would, you know, here I'm this poor single mom and living just this really hard life, and I came from rough, and she was just my friend. She just would invite me places, whether I went or not or whatever, and she would just invite me. Mm-hmm. And she would just listen. And she would hold me accountable, you know, for my stuff. And I'm probably still a Christian today because of that. You know, she was just my friend. Nobody wants to be – I don't like getting preached at, you know. And so God's going to show up. Mm-hmm. But we have to just show up, you know. And so that's why he said feed them.
Well, when you're talking about that, I'm thinking about, like, let's go to Jesus for a minute. What did he do? He went from town to town, village to village. He fed the multitudes, right?
Yeah.
He was there with the woman at the well.
Yeah.
Having a conversation with her, you know. Then you see him eating with the tax – there you go, eating with the tax collectors. And all the religious people are like, what is he doing? He didn't say everyone got saved. Okay. You know, he didn't do any miracles or anything. He just sat there and he was eating, and that was totally radical what he was doing. And when you look at the model of Jesus constantly just going there and being with the people, he was in the house ministry. He was out, with the people. And then he would obviously surface to the temple and break open the scriptures and teach. But the majority of his ministry was in the Sea of Galilee, the Galilee of the Gentiles.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Jesus is the model. And we got to always, it's so important that, because it's easy for us as Christians to get, we're plugged into our local church, obviously, that's where we get discipled. Mm-hmm. But it's so easy to just get stuck in that and never really break away. And it's like, oh, we just got to do a big event once a year. Or no, it's like, you don't have to leave your country. You don't have to leave your state to do missionary work. The mission field is, it's everywhere. And it's literally around you. And what I've learned in my life is that if I just say a prayer in the morning, like, God, open a door with whoever you want me to talk to, I don't even have to go searching.
Yep.
They literally just come up and start talking to you.
Yep.
And that's the door.
Yep.
Like, it's like when you say that prayer, it's like God's faithful and he does it.
Yeah.
But if you're not praying and you're not looking, and then you're going, why isn't God doing it? Well, you have not because you asked not.
Yeah.
Oh, pray for the door to open and God will bring people and they'll just start talking to you.
Well, and I call it kind of the Hezekiah attitude that sometimes that we get is you look around, well, I'm good. People around me are good.
Yeah.
Generation's good. So we're good. Well, you got a hurt and dying world right outside those doors. And so, you know, and that's, ministry is messy. And sometimes
messy.
We have to sit in the dirt with people. And that's how I feel like we are at Pathway. We sit in the dirt with them for a little bit and we woo them towards Christ. So, okay, so she needs a pregnancy test. We're going to give that. She needs an ultrasound. We're going to give that. We're going to talk to her about her different options, you know, her options. And yes, please don't write me letters. Yes, we are going to talk to her about her options because she needs to know what her options are. But the whole time we're listening and we're loving and we're respecting and treating her with dignity. And maybe we're the first people that have ever done that in her life.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know that she deserves dignity.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And then we become that safe place for her. We become that place where she's just, she's just loved. And it takes time. And you got to sit in the dirt and you got to hear things.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to sit with a straight face and be like, yeah, I feel you. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, that must be rough. And even if you don't, you've never walked that road, you've never experienced that, it goes a long way to say, man, I've never experienced that, and I can't even imagine what you're going through, but I'm here, and I'm ready to
listen. That's dope. I like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to have answers.
No. Yeah. I never have the answer. Mm-hmm. But God does.
Yeah.
And you're going to woo them. I heard one time, and I've never forgotten, and I pray this all the time in the morning at the clinic, that the aroma of deep faith is like an expensive perfume. And they should smell that the minute they walk in. Like, the minute the aroma of Christ should come before you and you don't even say anything. But that aroma, like I said, is willing to go to the skate park. That skate park's rough.
Mm.
That was those are the kids.
Yeah.
I love those kids.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
Those are kids I used to deal with in the probation school and continuation school. I love them.
Yeah.
And they're smart.
Yeah.
They have goals, but nobody even ever told them that they could achieve anything. And so I get that. Like, show up and eat. You know why I'm married to my husband? Because somebody invited us over for dinner, and I was a poor single mom, and I was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to meet anybody. I just wanted dinner. And here we are 15 years later. You know,
maybe.
It's the same. I went to church because my sister said, hey, I want you to go with me. I want to hear these people. I'm like, I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to walk into church.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Nobody in church is going to want to walk see me, you mm-hmm. know, because I'm walking in with all of this. And, you know, that was 1998. So, we just got to be big church, big C church, little C church. We just got to do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to step out of the church. Mm-hmm. And maybe the best thing about COVID is that church wasn't operating.
Okay, let's look at that. Because of COVID, church shut down, you know, to an extent, the majority. I mean, went online. Remember, it was mm-hmm. just all online.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, like, looking back, and you're like, dude, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Everything was online. All of a sudden, all the pastors are like, oh, shoot. We
got
to teach to a non-audience. Imagine,
yeah.
like, being in front of I remember that was weird even for me because
yep.
I'm used to doing high school events, live events
yep.
all the time. That's like basically doing a church service.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I had to do a webcast. I had to teach in front of a webcast one time in a room in a studio, and I was like, this is strange,
yeah.
You know? And then all of a sudden everyone had to learn how to do that. But what happened at that time is the church got it shut down, and then it had to like rebirth like a new ideas and new yeah. ways to do outreach, and a lot of good actually came. It got yeah. the church actually like, you know, over at church at large, like shaking and moving to come up with new creative ideas of like getting stuff out on content, digital, yeah. and it really actually pushed the church to push out content,
yeah,
which is great. But yeah. also now, because of the effects of the COVID and all that, you know, with the depression, anxiety, suicide, pregnancy, etc. Now, with the fear-mongering, too, everything that's going on in the media and everything, the world's in a different place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got people walking around with masks, running with masks down the street, yeah. on the beach. I mean, like, it's like, there's people that have their immune system
yeah.
problems, but there's also so much fear that yeah. people think they're going to just die.
Yeah.
So we got to, there's going to be a lot of after effects that we have not seen mm-hmm. that we are going to see what's happening
yeah.
with people right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is going to be a very interesting time to see what's going to be happening now moving forward of the effects of this last year of COVID on the mind.
It was great because, you know, I deal with a lot of different churches, and when they had to move outside, they said people were standing like on their balconies and listening to church.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from a not church background, I could see me doing that
yeah.
like back in the day, like, I don't know who these people yeah. are, and I don't want to be judged by them, but I'll stand out on my balcony. And I love – we are in Southern California. We should be outside
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
And so I loved it. I've always said we need to do things a little bit simpler, you know. And so when my husband and I were out on that corner for all of those years, like there'd be like noise and just – stuff. I mean, like, people are having sex over here. There's people riding skateboards, doing drugs all around us. And every once in a while, a kid would say, so tell me about Jesus, or tell me. And we would be having church in the middle of this noise. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is like first century.
Yeah.
That is how it should be.
Yep.
And so I agree with you. Our world, to me, is never going to be the same. And that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's bad.
I think it's very exciting times. We have like 3 minutes left, but I think this is I'm honestly excited to see what God wants to do. And just watching the news and just watching everything that's going on, Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
He's coming back and more than ever. I mean, I don't dude, like when you read Revelations and you know, you study Bible prophecy and you're watching the signs of the times, you're like, yo, we are in the last days. Like it's going down and things are escalating quickly.
Yeah.
So now's the time to raise up, live the Great Commission. We need to reach as many people as possible, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and step out in faith yeah. and watch God move.
Yeah.
So I want to plug a couple things before we shut this down. First, I want to plug your place of business so people can find you if they need to get a hold of you.
Yeah. So it's Pathway Health Clinic. We're located in Vista. You can find us pathway-healthclinic.com. That's the easiest. We're on IG and Facebook.
And your podcast.
Yeah. Life Grounded. And it's based on, I've spent 10 years at the ground level of this pro-life movement. And you can find it on YouTube or Christian Broadcast Central. And yeah, I talk about some of these life issues in, maybe in a different way that people would actually think. Because I've lived it. I've sat knee to knee and face to face with that woman trying to make that abortion decision on what she's going to do. And it's not as simple as people think.
So. No. You guys follow her, tune into her podcast. There's so much more that Leslie could provide for you guys. Thank you, everyone that's been just following the movement, listening to this show for years. I can't believe what God has done here. Thank you for praying for the movement and actually giving to the movement and funding our mission to continue to bring the gospel to the streets. That's what we do. We have not stopped. We will continue. We did over 100 events during the pandemic, during the yeah. lockdown. Again, we haven't stopped. The new book is out, or it's actually for pre-order now. KillTheNoiseBook.com. You could buy it, like Ali said earlier, anywhere where books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, etc. It's there. This is it for you video, guys. It's a neon green and black and white. Kill the Noise, Finding Meaning Above the Madness. I actually wrote this in the pandemic. When everything got shut down, I wrote it. We put it out. It's out on Hatchet Publishing. And It's just a tool. It's a faith building tool. It will teach you about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to teach you the basic fundamentals of the Great Commission. It's going to teach you about the Jesus, all about Jesus, what he did and how to live the life that you were created for. And it's just a walk of faith, and it'll encourage everyone, all ages. So get it, buy some, give them to your friends, whatever you want to do. Go to the Whosoever's. Watch our new film. We have the Full Send movie. It's of our last tour in Idaho. And we have a new film that's going to be coming out of our Montana film, which was number one for suicide. That's a whole nother film, and it's heavy. But anyway, Leslie, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
It went fast.
Yeah, it always does.
I know. I love you guys. We'll be talking.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
If you're hearing this right now, you're probably like, who the heck is this? And why are they playing during my favorite podcast? And I get it. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do want to introduce myself. My name is Trevor Tyson, and I'm the host of Trevor Talks, where we talk to real people about real topics and real stories. I just want to invite you, if you love podcasts, if you love music, if you love books and love hearing from the people who create it, come check us out at Trevor Talks. Simply go to Google or Life Audio, type in Trevor Talks, and it'll pop on up. Hope you have a great day.